Blog Talk Radio.
You ain't nothing but a hound dog.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening. Depending on where you're tuning into or from, thank you so much. My name is Darcy Butkus. I go by Inspector Bark. For the first time of you all listening, I am a licensed private investigator here in the state of Georgia. I'm also licensed in the state of Florida, and I own my own detective agency here in Georgia. I just want to inform all of you that the next 2 hours will be very, very busy and action-packed, and we're going to get right to the nitty-gritty. For those of you that are listening from Broward County, I strongly recommend you listen intently starting at approximately 12:40 p.m., literally 40 minutes from now. I have a list of co-hosts that many of you, if you took the time to read, this podcast is about within the animal welfare industry, and who are they really? I think you all will look at each other and go, you have been duped. But we're going to get into that at 12:40 because I've already had this show scheduled and I have people coming on that are committed and I appreciate them. We are limited time. So if anybody wants to call with any questions, comments, or thoughts, the phone number to call in is 563-999-3599. Please do not call with a blocked number. We will not accept your call. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to basically give you a little info of what we're going to be discussing in the next 15 minutes because I've got my first caller in the queue, and his name is Scott Fine. He is Facebook page Joey's Legacy. And if any of you have heard my previous podcast, we have talked about Regret a Vet, okay? And I will tell you, thank you for that. I just got it. How is that? Is that better? I'm coming in okay? Thank you. Sunday, you can probably call in. So basically what we're going to do is we're going to discuss about truth or tales within the animal welfare industry. But I'm going to bring in Scott Fine from Joey's Legacy, assisting the victims of veterinarian malpractices. And he will tell you a little bit about what they are doing to help people that have suffered a horrible loss. Let me bring him in right now. Okay, great. And Paul, I see that you're in the queue, so great. Good morning, good afternoon, Mr. Scott Fine. How are you?
Good afternoon, Inspector Bark. How are you?
I'm wonderful. I just want to let my listeners know that there might be a little bit of a time delay. So if there's like a 2 or 3 second delay, that's common. The switchboard, Scott, so you know, is lighting up as we speak. I've got certain phone numbers that are expected to call in. So I'm going to, at this time, Scott, I want you to go ahead and explain a little bit about what you and your lawyers and your wonderful veterinarians are doing to help prevent victims that they never have to go through what your some of your victims, including yourself, have gone through. So I'm going to give you the podium. I'm going to mute myself just so everybody knows that come on the show. Please always mute yourself if you're not speaking. So, Scotty, please introduce yourself and tell us what you're all about and what you're doing to help within the industry. Thank you. Go ahead.
Sure. Sure. I'm Scott Fine. I founded Joey's Legacy back in October of 2017 after my wife and I lost our beloved dachshund, Joey, as a result of veterinary malpractice. We obviously suffered a great loss. He was our beloved child, our family member, and we decided to form this group after a period of mourning, and we realized that we could not be the only victim of veterinary malpractice, that there had to be more out there. And after decades of providing homes for so many cats and dogs and having great veterinarians over the years, we ran into this brick wall with this one veterinarian who decided to guess at a diagnosis rather than use his formal training and perform laboratory tests, which would have easily revealed what was really wrong with Joey. His guess led to an order of a drug called Convenia, which for some pets may be appropriate. For Joey, it wasn't, because Joey was in early stage renal failure, which we didn't learn until the next day when actual labs were performed. Convenia actually started to destroy Joey's kidneys. And on the third day, we made the horrible decision to euthanize Joey. Anyway, we took our tragedy and we turned it into something that we believe has been a very helpful resource for a lot of people. We've helped hundreds of people over the last 5 years. Our Facebook group has swelled to over 3,700 members.
Scotty, let me stop you right there, because what I want people to do, and I want you to listen to my instructions, if you will, everybody, because I know I do bark out orders, but I'm Inspector Bark, right, Scott?
Yes.
Scott, when you finish, you are going to go under my Inspector Bark Facebook page and go ahead underneath the podcast information. Attach your link. I'm looking at it right now, okay? But there are some other Facebook pages, so I want everybody to know which page to go to. It's called Joey's Legacy Dash Vet Victim. So some people may not be able to write that down, Scotty, so I'm going to ask you to put that into my Inspector Bark. I'm going to jump on here, Scott, because I want everybody to know that you have two books written. You have had people that you have spoken to lost their beloved pet. We have these veterinarians that are still practicing because, as you mentioned, Scott, the last two episodes we did together, they go off the same playbook. And that is very disturbing because we have many of these examples. And just a couple of them is Sandra Gosselin, Justice for, finish that off for me. Justice
Buffy.
That's right. And that doctor is still practicing. But what is so important for people to know is you're so trusting of these veterinarians. You better make sure that you do your homework on these individuals, because there's some of them out there that are not, in my opinion, practicing. So, Scott, I want to ask you, last time we had a show together, Regret a Vet, okay? We had whistleblowers come on regarding a veterinarian by the name of Dr. Oliver. Due to social media pressure, due to the veterinarian tech that had to blow the whistle, she had to stand there and witness terrible harm to these animals and what she went through to finally the state of North Carolina, right? She surrendered her license,
yes.
Scott. North Carolina? Virginia? Okay.
Right.
And then where did she move to, Scott?
Rhode Island.
That's right. And then what happened up in Rhode Island? Let's talk about that whistleblower and how ferocious and relentless she was. What did she do, Scotty? Tell our
Well, I think she picked up from her days in North Carolina and continued on. But the thing that happened in Rhode Island, which is what we try to encourage, is, you know, there's 85 million plus companion animal parents in the United States, and hundreds of people put pressure on, you know, the organization that she worked for, and basically said, we're not going to patronize you if you employ someone like this. And that pressure was enough to force her out of there. And that's what we have to do as pet parents. If we see something that's not right, we have to speak up and speak out and not be afraid, because they need us. They need our money to survive. And that's what a lot of them are just in it for, money. Not everyone, not, you know, the larger conglomerates are taking over the smaller mom-and-pop veterinarians, and they're changing the business model from caring, compassionate service to what can we push to the bottom line, including tests that don't need to be performed. And, you know, it just turns into a money thing, and you have to be, we as pet parents have to be very vigilant and make sure not to just trust just because there's a DVM behind the individual's name. That doesn't work anymore. Back in the day, like I said, decades, and many of you will attest to this, we never were concerned about our vets. You know, the veterinary medicine was number third most trusted occupation on a list of 20-plus in the Gallup poll of 2006, behind nurses and pharmacists. Vets were number three. That quickly went away and is no longer the case. Why? Because, you know, money took over, and that's the problem. You know, that's the problem,
well,
that's why.
Go ahead, Scotty. Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say that's the reason, and that's why we have to be more vigilant when we bring our companion animals, our loved ones, our family members to the vet. I just had a few people, you know, we receive 50 to 75 phone calls a month for assistance, allegations of malpractice and negligence. More and more people are telling me that, and this comes from the vet techs that work for these veterinarians, and they're very forthcoming. They shouldn't be. If the vets knew, they'd probably get fired. But these vet techs are telling these victims that are calling me that the vets like it, that after COVID, even though the really serious part of COVID appears to be behind us, the vets like it that they that they don't have to deal face to face with pet parents, and are actually telling the vet techs to tell the pet parents, no, sorry, you have to stay in the parking lot while we treat your pet, and we'll bring your pet out to you when we're done. No longer do some of these vet want face-to-face interaction, and we need to push back against that. You know, part of the relationship between the veterinarian and the client and the patient is face-to-face communication, and if we don't have that, it makes it even more impersonal than it's become. So,
right.
Scotty, you know,
let me stop you right there, buddy. Let me stop you right there, because we're really – I'm going to bring in at this time, I'm going to bring in my co-host. I'm going to introduce – just stay on the phone with me. They're all waiting in the queue. Sunday Garcia – and they can hear us. Sunday Garcia is the administrator, one of the administrators over on the Facebook page, Scott, called Scam Rescues. Animal Advocacy Community Forum. I'm going to bring her in right now. She's going to come on. Just stand by. Let me bring in everybody that I need to. So hold on, Scotty.
Okay.
We've got a big – hold on, Scotty. Okay. And I've got Gina on the phone. Hold on, Gina. Just go ahead and stay with me, because I've got to bring in Sunday. I see her phone number. Thanks for the patience, everybody. So I'm going to bring everybody in, and I'm going to introduce them, Scott, but they're going to mute themselves until I ask them to speak. But here's what I want to tell everybody. So Sunday is a retired law enforcement officer. She is running the page. She will talk to you about how she and I connected, and then you're also going to hear from Gina Pitt, and she runs the page Guard Dog USA. Everybody, if you don't know these pages and you want to know who the bad apples are, I encourage you to please like them. Guard Dog USA exposing pet flippers, abusers, breeders, etc. So please, if you can, immediately jump on Facebook, like the pages, like Scam Rescues, Animal Advocacy Community Forum. That is a group page, so you have to be invited in. Scott, hold on for one sec. If you could kindly please say hello. Sunday Garcia, welcome to the show.
Hi. I met Inspector Bark probably about 4 years ago, and it was because I had discovered there was a hoarder living in my community, and everybody thought that she was the godsend, and I'm not allowed to say her name, when I exposed her as a hoarder, I was thrown off of every animal page, rescue page, lost and found page in my neighborhood, and that started me thinking, and I heard about Inspector Bark's page, and I contacted her, and we have become friends, and I have become an advocate for the animals ever since. I basically dedicate my life to exposing these scam rescues, vets, breeders, transporters, anyone that's hurting animals.
Thank you. Thank you, Sunday. Scott, stay on. I'm going to now introduce my next co-host, which is Gina Pitt from Guard Dog USA. Gina, thank you so much for joining us and being on the show.
Hello.
So tell us a little bit about what you do as an animal advocate, and I will also preface, I am an animal advocate. I am not an animal activist. So I just want to let people know. And the other page that we did not mention is, remember, guys, Facebook has tried to put a blanket over this page called The Bad and the Ugly in the World of Pets, because all the bad apples out there try to silence, censor us, okay? So we've got good people, and Gina, hold on to that thought, because talking about censoring, going to be a hot topic about 20 minutes, and I've got to bring Gina in. Introduce yourself. You've got about a minute and a half, because now I got to bring in Paul, who is waiting in the queue, who's my next speaker. Scott, stay on, mute yourself. Gina, go ahead, tell us a little bit about what you and your team do.
Our page is basically calling out bad breeders, animal abusers. We post news stories as well. We encourage people to come to our page. Anything that you submit is anonymous because the word needs to get out for everybody to see. A lot of your news stations aren't going to cover these little local rural areas where animal abuse is ongoing constantly, daily. So we're just a page that likes to call them out and give them the recognition they deserve.
Mm-hmm. There you go. Gina, thank you so much. And I got more people in the queue. Okay, please mute yourselves. Here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to bring in my next guest, Scotty, and don't hang up because we will finish off. My next guest is Mr. Paul Ebbs. He's a former animal control investigator and enforcement supervisor for Fulton County, Georgia, right here in my home state. But before I do that, hang on, Paul, I know you can hear me. I've got to bring in another powerhouse, and this guy is going to help me, us that truly care about the animals in Broward County. He is going to help me drop the bomb that I will present. And trust me when I tell you, it's a major bomb. So before I do anything further, this man's name is Mr. Tim Harrison. He is the director for the Outreach for Animals. Did a documentary called The Conservation Game. And people, let me tell you, he is in his car right now, and I'm going to bring in both Paul, because Paul is from Fulton County. And guess where Mr. Tim Harrison heading to? Hold on. Let me bring him in right now, gang. I am doing multitasking. All right. So where did, let's see. Tim, I've got you on the phone, right, buddy? We're going to get him on there. There he is. Tim? Tim?
Yeah, I'm trying to get you. Can you hear me?
Oh, hi. Yeah, buddy. Thank you so much. This is really important because I know you're driving from Ohio and you're heading here to Georgia. Let me go ahead.
Yep.
I think I could have lost Paul. So I'm going to introduce you, and I don't know if you heard me or not. So if we lose you because you are driving, please, please call back in. Let me introduce you again, guys. This guy is named Tim Harrison. You've got a lot of noise in the back, Tim, but I'm going to please tell us what you're doing and why you're coming to Noah's Ark in Fulton County.
Yes, everything I've been listening to, I'm very impressed with everybody so far that's on here, especially Scott, for stepping up and doing what he's doing right now because, you know, that takes a lot of passion and compassion to step up and do. Most people just sit back and allow these veterinarians to get away with what they're doing, just like human doctors. And I'm very impressed with that, and I'm impressed with both the young ladies, too, with what they're doing, especially
Thank
with you,
Tim.
Darcy. You know, it's one of the reasons I'm on right now is because of the Inspector Bark. She's one of those individuals that actually is an activist. I'm not the kind that sits around and talks about doing something, actually goes out and does it. You know, that's a whole different ballgame. But, yeah, I'm on my way down. We're going to have a court hearing tomorrow. And what it is about, it's a situation where somebody came into a nonprofit, brought some other people in, got them into the board, long story short, took over the board, and they are only in it for the money. They have no care whatsoever for the rescued animals. And, in fact, one of them even said to me to my face, we need to get rid of some of these older animals and bring in some new ones. It's a rescue. It's a big cat bear rescue. It's not, a car dealership like one of the individuals that's involved in the board, the millionaire. They snuck in and took over the board, and now they snuck in and took over the sanctuary. That's something everybody has to pay attention to because right now we have a situation where people are pirate into your board, sound like sugar won't melt in their mouth, and all of a sudden, boom, they take over your nonprofit and you're kicked out. And that's what happened to Jamie.
There you go.
Family.
Yep. Let me hold that thought because I'm bringing in Paul Ebbs right now. Mr. Paul Ebbs, give me a few seconds, everybody. Those that are not speaking, please mute yourselves because if you want to jump in, especially Tim, you are on the road. So mute yourself and then unmute yourself. Mr. Paul Ebbs, welcome to the Inspector Bark Show.
Well, thank you very much. Can you hear me?
I can hear you fine, and thank you for your patience because I've got you on coming a little bit late. We're pretty much on schedule. Just so you know, Paul,
yeah.
I don't know if you are aware, but by 12:40, I've got to really 12:40, 12:45, talk about what's happening down in Broward County. I briefed you on that, Paul. You got the information, did you not, last night?
That's correct.
Okay, so let's talk about Fulton County, and Tim is heading down there, Noah's Ark. There's some problems down there. We've got some bad apples that are portraying themselves as wanting to help the animals. You are a retired former animal cruelty investigator, okay? You also was enforcement supervisor for Fulton County. Tell us a little bit about what you're out in the field and let's talk about those people that you may have possibly worked with that was their interest, really in the best interest for these animals. Are they what I often say, people become emotionally detached, completely removed, and totally desensitized, and what they see in these rogue rescues is that they're using the backs of these animals to financially profit off of which what we're going to discuss momentarily, and it's got to stop. And unfortunately, they're masters at manipulating and convincing the public that they're saving animals. Well, let me tell you, people, if you want to believe them without doing fact check, All you are doing is you're following the masses. You're following them blindly, and you want to believe something, you got to do your own checking up. Tim, anytime you want to jump in with Paul, okay, because I've got other people waiting, but Paul and Tim, feel free to take over the show for the next couple minutes. I'm going to go in the queue. I'm going to mute myself. Paul, go ahead and tell us a little bit about what you're seeing in the world of rescue now currently.
Well, I think that rescue is devolving. It's becoming very problematic with the number of hot-button issues in this locale recently, where once fairly good, I guess, rescues have turned into hoarders and just really a problem. And they're essentially covered up by those around them. It's kind of rescue is kind of like a religion, and it's there's a lot of money out there. There's trafficking in animals, which just goes on, there's if you get a story, if you're a small rescue and get a story on a dog, and I've seen this happen in good faith, and they would get some publicity about an animal they had that may have been abused or whatever and raise $15,000 to $20,000. And they've got a vet bill of $1,500, but there's no strings on the money. And I had one call me. She's still a friend. This was years ago. She called me and said, hey, what do I do with this money? And I said, well, you probably should give it back if you can figure out how to give it back. But as far as I know, there's no, you're not doing anything illegal. And she ended up, I think, she never told me, but I think she ended up keeping the money. They would say something like, well, I needed this car for transport, that kind of a thing. So there's a lot of money in stories that now, and the internet kind of is not new now, but it, you know, you're talking about as the 21st century came in, it was kind of new. So one case that I can tell you about real quickly, and I'll back off, is we had a case in Fulton County on a young little puppy named Caleb that was alleged to have been thrown over a fence and had a broken leg, deep head wound, and sexual cigarette burns and what appeared to be a sexual violation. And so my boss at the time sent me out to take a look at it because this was getting play in the Atlanta area. This was getting play. And the first thing I saw was that there was certainly room under the fence for this dog to come under, like 18 inches, the puppy. And so I got the lady that lived there, that, and I said, well, what made you think that the dog had been thrown over the fence? And she said, oh, I never said that. That was the white women. This is a black neighborhood. She said, that's what the white women were saying. And they had taken this dog to Clayton County to, I guess, a vet. I never did find out who it was, for some treatment. And the vet had gone along with saying, oh, yes, there's evidence of sexual abuse and you know, yada, yada. So the dog ended up, the rescue was doing everything on the level at this point, except in order for us to prosecute, the animal has to still be in the possession of the prosecuting entity legally.
There you go. Tim can jump in on here about how it's not just because we've got to move along, but this is where Tim and I were talking. And Tim, unmute yourself again, because Paul is getting to the point where we talked about if there is a hoarding case. Tim, before you speak, go ahead and mute yourself again because of the factor in the car. Mute yourself again. Just mute yourself because I've got to make this point. Listen to me, guys, that are listening here that are inexperienced. These men know what it takes to get to stick. If you go into a hoarding situation of cats, which is occurring in Broward County, and it's still occurring, but the director of Broward County, cannot, and we'll talk about that. So I need to all of you that in order to arrest, and Paul and Kim will agree with me, even though Nicole Dupois got arrested, mounting pressure of social media, even though Michelin Joy last year with the cat hoarding case got arrested, if we don't have the proper evidence to get the prosecutor to on the cases, Paul, Tim, I'm going to let you guys explain the process. Go ahead, Tim, you speak first, and then
Inspector Bark,
okay, because this is crucial.
Inspector Bark, you're breaking up a little bit.
Thank you for letting me know. Guys, you keep talking. Tim, go ahead.
All right. I'll jump in, too. I'm a retired police officer, firefighter, paramedic myself, and it was extremely difficult for a law enforcement officer, a cop, to get anything on anybody with animal cruelty, period. We had the most horrific situations. So we ended up having an attorney come in and actually sit down. They actually cared about animals in Montgomery County and their Dayton, Ohio. And she sat down and she told us how to keep a chain of evidence. A lot of people that deal in the animal advocates and animal activists, and a lot of times even animal control people, have it was in the old days, it's getting better now, they wouldn't follow chain of evidence. They wouldn't continue with, like we talked about earlier, what's happening with down Broward County. We'll talk about that later. If they break that chain of evidence, there's nothing. You're done. Show's over. The animals are the ones that pay the price. So I'll let Paul talk about that since he's a professional on that. But I just know that if we don't keep a chain of evidence and if we don't keep the evidence clean, straight through, and be able to hand it to a prosecutor, trust me, I've got a lot of warrants in my life for bad guys, and you have to jump through the hoops properly, cross your T's, dot your I's, or you don't get a warrant. I'll let you go, Paul.
Thank you, sir. Yes, absolutely. Chain of custody for these cases, particularly when you get above the magistrate level. They're important everywhere, but generally at the magistrate level, you can, I was going to say get away with stuff, but it's looser. When you get up to the state level, you can guarantee attorneys would be involved. And it's like if Tim was my client, I was an attorney, and he shot one of y'all, okay, they would take the weapon, and it would be entered into evidence. Now, if we show up in court and they don't have the weapon, well, I'm going to challenge it, and it's going to be thrown out, period. Tim walks, whether he's a serial killer. You know, I mean, it's chain of custody is incredibly important. And like you said, they just don't, a lot of people just, particularly well-meaning rescues that you see out, and they'll uncover a cruelty situation and totally mess it up, and you won't be able to prosecute it. They go away with, you have an ingrown collar, but the collar disappears. You know, I mean, it's the kind of stuff that I would pull out in court. I'd put that stuff in a bag, in a Ziploc bag, and pull it out for the judge, and the whole courtroom fills up with the aroma of nasty. And people go to jail behind that. The laws have changed in the past 7 years where animal cruelty
is easier. Well, let me stop you right there. Do I sound better, Paul? Let me stop you right there. Do I sound better?
Yes, you're right.
Okay.
You're good and
thank
loud.
You.
Yes,
thank
you.
Thank you.
Fading in with
and my co- This is really important because Sunday, you are a retired cop, okay? You know how this works. And let me explain to all you people in Broward County that think this is all great, what happened, that these cats were finally removed from Nicole Dupois' home in Deerfield Beach. Why? Because of mounting pressure. Because this occurred with the whistleblowers that hopefully will get on the show and explain what happened. There are now people that are going and retaliating because they blew the whistle on a hoarder who everybody believed was a professed rescuer and a cat trapper. We got a problem here, you guys, because you know what? If they didn't take in that evidence, those cats, and mark them, okay? They didn't do that because I believe somebody overruled Emily Wood due to the pressure, due to people emailing Broward County officials, calling her. For any of you that are calling Emily Wood, stop, because she's placating you and pulling the wool over your eyes. And I'm going to get to that in a minute. And we're going to talk again about freedom of speech, people, your First Amendment right. And Tim knows what I'm talking about. Sunday Garcia knows what I'm talking about. Paul, I know you've got to go here in a few minutes, but I'm going to tell you something. All of you people down there want to know, why hasn't Michelin, she's been arrested, okay? Paul, am I right? They can arrest you, but
right.
Explain
if
how
they
if
messed
you don't
up
have
the evidence.
Proper evidence. Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, if they
and
have,
that is what happened.
If they have
go
messed
ahead.
It up, there's nothing. There won't be a prosecution.
Okay, and guess
you
what, everybody? You're right. Thank you. And Tim, anytime you want to jump in, this is important because these people have to understand it from experts like yourself. We are not probably going to get any charges that will stick with Nicole Dufresne because they did not do the proper extraction and seizing of these cats, because Emily Wood, in my opinion, didn't want to deal with it. She was forced to, I believe. She was overruled, I believe. And guess what, gentlemen? I'm talking to you, Tim, and I'm talking to Paul. We've got 50-plus more cats sitting in a shed in Dania Beach, Florida, which is only about a half hour or so. I know that area. I still own a home in Broward County. Why the hell is Emily Wood not telling her animal control officers to go over there and get those cats? It's because Nicole Dupois and Alba San Lucas are in it together, and there's others involved, and we're not going to blow the whistle just yet. Sunday's been working behind the scenes, and Acampo's been working behind the scenes. We know who you are, people, okay? And Broward County officials are listening to this, and if they're not, they better, because emails and a personal phone call I made to the county attorney, and it's going to get even heated, guys. But I need, Paul, before you hang up, what is it that you can convince these people that think that these people are trapping cats and they're so wonderful? That's why Sunday Garcia got kicked out of a group. That's why Izzy, the whistleblower, Maggie got kicked out of groups, because when you tell these cat fanatic and dog fanatic people, well, how dare you? Horrible. On that note, before you leave, Paul, and I've got to get Scotty, because, you know, poor Scotty's been there. On that note, I know you got to go. What would you say to these people that are believing the ones that are not putting the animals' interests at heart? Go ahead.
Okay, I'm not really sure what you're asking me right now, specifically.
Paul, no, Paul. Yeah. Before he leaves, Scott, before Paul, before you have to head out, I need you to tell these listeners why most likely Nicole Dupuy will not be arrested, because they didn't do the proper chain of command. Am I correct in saying that? They didn't testimonial level.
Right, right.
They went in and took some pictures, but they didn't tag these animals.
Yeah, it's a painstaking process. I'll tell you real quick how one went south, and then I'll let you do this. I had a dog fighting case in South Fulton, 2014 or 15, that involved 37 fighting dogs. It was they were staked out on the property. Classic stuff. In canvassing the neighborhood, one of the ladies next door told me, you know, they come. There's a chain of cars that come down here at night sometimes, and like, you know, they were fighting there. So we assisted the police in getting, because they don't know anything about animal law really, which is really the same as just regular law. It's just evidence. But I got out the warrant for them. You want all the electronics. You want any drugs that are stored on the property, any paraphernalia, fighting paraphernalia. And I located a a pit. Now, the thing is, dog pits, fighting pits, if they're going to have a fight, you're not going to come in and find a boxing ring. You're not going to find the octagon. It's going to look like wood thrown about. And we got the pit, had blood on it, had the police come in, and needed to do forensics on the blood, just needed to know it was dog blood and canine. And went on about our business. I painstakingly took each animal. We just made records and took them right to the vet and had them evaluated. Everything was in order. The next day, I called the detective because at that time, well, it was a felony charge, and the lead law officer had to be a post-certified peace officer. I just supported them. They didn't know what they were doing, but I was behind the scene. And I asked about the pit. Did she want me to store it because I had room for it? She said, "Well, we didn't pick that up." I said, "Excuse me?" She said, "Did you need it?" I said, "Oh, God, yeah. Do we need it?"
Oh, brother.
She said, "I'll go back out
brother.
And get it." I said, "Well, you can't go yeah. back out and get it without another warrant." So this guy had 49 outstanding warrants in Fulton County. And he was still, nobody was coming to serve him. He went out to Compton. He was back when I left 2.5 years ago. He was still he was back in the area. So there's a lot of I don't
but, okay,
really
care well, you know what?
On.
I know, listen, I know it, we're getting not carried away, but I love your stories, and people need to listen intently because what they're going to do, they're going to be all up in arms, these rescue people, and they're going to say, "Why didn't this happen?" Well, you know what, people? You can blame animal control for not doing their job. And the Michelin Joy case, and Paul, go ahead. You know what? I'm going to say goodbye to you. You can hang up and and thank you so much for calling in, okay? Paul?
Oh, wonderful.
Paul,
I appreciate you.
I hate to cut you off. Okay.
All right.
And let thank you.
I'll
bye.
Talk
thank
to you
so
bye
much.
Bye.
Thank you. Okay, thanks, Paul. Scotty, I'm going to probably just give you a real quick goodbye. I want to thank you for coming on the show and continue listening. And you can continue listening by just clicking on the internet link, okay, Scott?
Okay. Yeah, that's fine. Okay, Darcy.
All right.
Take care.
Thank you so much. Okay, take care. Bye-bye. So thank you. So Sunday Garcia, I'm going to have you unmute yourself. Tim, anytime you want to jump in, just go ahead and unmute yourself, okay? But when you're listening, the driving is the air conditioning you can hear. So Sunday, I want to talk to you about the case with Michelin Joy last year. You remember that, Sunrise? You're familiar with that area?
Mm-hmm, correct.
Okay. And the cats were eating each other to stay alive, okay? They were abandoned
mm-hmm.
in her townhouse. Allegedly, she was evicted, okay? So if she was evicted, why would there be a need to go there? And apparently, these individuals from a rescue called Saving Sage, who she knew, they were affiliated, and they call animal control. And animal control comes out under the direction of Emily Wood. She's the director. And his name is Philip Gohn. And we all know this, people, that he said, "Oh, I'll let you guys handle it." Saving Sage, the rescue. Now, let me ask you, do you think they took photographs and tagged and did the chain of command that is required for Michelin Joy to serve and be charged? What are your thoughts on that, Sunday?
Well, if the animal control officer is allowing the rescues to take over, no. And it's actually chain of custody. The animal control officer would have been the one to obtain a warrant. And actually, they should have gotten a warrant because even though she had vacated the premises, she still has an active interest in it. And just to be on the safe side so that you don't lose any evidence and have it, you know, disposed of or thrown out in court, you know, I would still get a warrant. The animal control officer should have taken each animal. They bring them to their vet. They have it documented as to the conditions of them. They should have photographed it. They should have videotaped it. They definitely dropped the ball. When you let the rescues come in and take the animals are no longer in the chain of custody. They're gone. And it's just like your previous commenter was talking about, you have no evidence any longer. You want the animal to be in a happy, nice, warm, loving home, but whether it be for a couple weeks or a couple months, that animal needs to stay in the custody of animal control.
Well said. Tim, is there anything you want to add to what Sunday, also retired law enforcement, had to say?
No, that's absolutely perfect. The thing is people don't realize, too, when you get into some of the other animals, like the pits and everything else, I'm from the Montgomery County area in Dayton. We have, in along Interstate 75, we have a lot of pit bull fighting, dog fighting, cock fighting is big up in that area. We've been able to mark the animals. We had one veterinarian actually put a little mark on each one, like a one or a two, almost like a little tattoo on their inside their ear. I know it's a little bit too far-fetched, but we had to because they had such a powerful, powerful group of attorneys that were just throwing everything, getting everything thrown out of court. Oh, that's not the same. That's not the dog. This is that. You mixed up. You got the wrong dog. You didn't do this. Blah, 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 blah. Didn't follow this. Never let an animal rescue on your property if you're in command, if you're the law enforcement officer. Never let anybody on that in that area until you're done with your investigation and you take control of everything. Then you can make a decision what you want to do after that. Once they step on there, we found out, once the cockfighting group activists came, they kind of pushed their way into it. Turns out they're just their footprint walking through there. Nope, we can't have any. This evidence doesn't count anymore. They planted something. They did something. They said something. They're making this up. It turned into a nightmare. I put a perimeter up. This is my, as the young lady said, I think her name is Sunday. They said it perfectly. It's mine. As long as I'm the law enforcement and I'm the one that has the warrant, this is my stuff right here. This is my place. And it's going to stay that way. Nobody else is allowed in, just like I'll throw out when we have a homicide. You know, we have somebody at the door writes the names down. If everybody that comes up to that door, anybody that comes in, they write their names and have them sign their name on there, if they're with the coroner's office or where they're from. Nobody gets on the property, so they can't come back and say, you messed up the chain of evidence. You messed it up. No, it doesn't exist.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well said. Sunday, what do you think about what Tim just mentioned about this situation? Because everybody down in Florida, and it went through the news about Michelin Joy, which I believe, folks, she did not act alone, okay? So all of you that believe that all these other people had nothing to do with it, you are being told lies, blatant lies. Go ahead, Sunday.
Well, you know, like I said, you know, the chain of custody and the animal control officer, as your speaker just had, never should have let them on. He should have conducted his investigation. He should have taken the animals. He should have brought them to the Broward County Animal Shelter. And then if the district attorney decides they're not going to prosecute, then release the animals. But they definitely screwed up the investigation. And, you know, coming from former law enforcement, you know, law enforcement does make mistakes. But for some reason, it happens more with animal cases because people let their emotions take over and they don't think with their brain.
You're absolutely right. And that's exactly what's occurring right now. Everybody's up in arms. They're all crying. They're all saying, oh, I thought she was so good. Nicole Dupois, this partner of hers, Alba San Lucas. Again, folks, if we don't do what Sunday and Tim just said with those cats sitting in a shed, and I'll tell you why. My opinion is Emily Wood doesn't want to go there. She doesn't want to take these cats in. She doesn't want to go through the trouble. And let's be honest, guys, Emily Wood does not have any infield experience, none, no boots on the ground. And the foster rescue coordinator, her name is Jody Robinson Vieira, she doesn't have any experience. But we're going to get to that in a minute, and Tim is fully aware, and he's going to stay on at the time during the call.
Well,
and I hope you don't drop because – go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say, it basically boils down to money and their live release rate. It costs them money to feed the animals. It costs them money with possibly overtime that they have to pay, you know, people to come in and keep these animals fed and cleaned and so forth. And then if they have to euthanize any of these animals, it goes against their live release rate. That's why they don't want to bring them in. It boils down to just money.
You're absolutely right. You're absolutely right. I'm going to ask Gina, if you want to pipe in here, I'd like for you to contribute. Again, feel free to jump in. But if you want, Gina, we're going to talk about what we're going to present to the listeners in a few minutes. But what do you want to add to what Sunday and Tim and what myself? I mean, I always say scum attracts scum and liars stick with liars. And what I should have said at the beginning of the show is if you are offended by the words thug, liar, scammer, drain the swamp, this show is not for you. Because what we need to do, and the Broward County officials received my email, Tim's looked it over, Sunday's looked it over, Gina's looked it over, we need to drain the swamp at Broward County Animal Care, okay? And the first one that needs to go is Emily Wood. And I've got the proof, and we've got, I believe, the evidence, and I presented it to the county attorney, Andrew Myers, just last night. This all became what I feel the smoking gun to fire Emily Wood. And we're going to talk about that here in a minute. Gina, is there anything you want to say?
Just that I agree. It seems like that animal cases are swept under the rug, and there are a ton of law enforcement officers that will tell you, I don't really know anything about the animal welfare laws, when they're minimal, and it's not anything that would take them a day to read. I go through it all the time myself in my own community. Anytime I've ever called an officer, well, I'm not really familiar with animal, well, let me tell you what it is. And this is why they're in violation. So, yeah, you have to stay on them. You have to have the evidence. You have to do the job, and you have to present it yourself. That's how it works.
That's right. That's right. Thank you. Thank you for that. Let's go ahead and Tim, is there anything else you want to add to that? Because we're going to get to the nuts and bolts of why these people that are in Florida listening. Go ahead.
Yeah, I was just going to remark. She was absolutely right, because 99% of law enforcement officers on the street do not want anything to do with any animal call. Trust me on that, because I do large, dangerous, wild, exotic animals and loose in people's neighborhoods, in their homes. We have legislation, but nobody knows. That's so far away from them. You're not trained in that kind of world. Now, when you come to dogs and cats, I had an officer that I worked with that actually spent 6 years being sued over taking a dog from, it was in a cage, sitting in the sun. He moved it into the shade, but he went on somebody else's property to do it. He didn't have a warrant. He didn't do this. 6 years he was being sued by this doctor who owned the dog because it hurt his business, because when it made the news that he was cruel to animals. Well, he ended up winning, but 6 years he had to pay out of his own pocket for some of the attorney fees. So a lot of them will back off because they're like, I don't understand this. And we need to educate them. They need to be educated at least 2 to 3 times a year about animal incidences, because I can guarantee you, like the other law enforcement officer can tell you, if you go into a pit bull places, you're going to find all kinds of criminal paraphernalia or people that do a lot of bad things or join or part of an organization or a gang that's doing bad things. So if you know how to get to them through the animals, they can use that as their benefit also.
Thank you. Thank you for that. So here's what we're going to do. Tim's going to stay with us for this call. I know he's been driving. He did get briefed on the report. So we're going to talk about what's transpiring currently actively in Broward County. As you know, Nicole Dupuy got arrested. We know that, okay? There's still more work cut out for us. If they didn't properly do the chain of evidence, thank you for correcting me, we're never going to get prosecuted, unfortunately. So here's what everybody can do. Why are the transfer rates going down at Broward County Animal Care? Okay? All this is on the website. You just go to the website, folks. Look at the dashboard. Do your own research. Euthanization rates are not improving. Transfer rates are going down. Allegedly, rescue agencies are not wanting to work with Emily Wood. She is sounding very convincing, but I'm telling you people, she does not have these animals' best interest. And we're going to get into the Facebook post here in a minute. This is very important for you all to understand. There's a lot of bad morale at the shelter. And what is being told to the commissioners who she reports to and her sidekick, Lenny, if you all watched the commissioners meeting on September 8th, which I all advise you to do, I send it to you, I spoon-fed it. Watch on September 8th where Commissioner Michelle Lazzaro hits a home run, or so we thought. Why is Emily Wood still in position? And this is where social media needs to help us, okay? And we're going to get into the nitty-gritty here because, again, you're all wondering, where are your Facebook posts, right? Gina, prepare for that and look at the post that we need to look at on Facebook page, Broward County Animal Care. So we're going to talk about how everybody's calling her and she's placating people. Why hasn't she gone to go get those other cats? Don't ask her anymore because she doesn't want them. And I can guarantee you, folks, and those experienced, and Tim will tell you, is that they're giving Elba San Lucas enough time to hide the evidence. Code compliance of Dania Beach, Florida, is not responsible for taking the cats. Animal control is. What I believe Emily Wood is doing is she's denying the municipalities around Davie, Florida, Commissioner Michelle Lazzaro's area, Hallandale Beach, and she's doing it to Dania Beach. We know for a fact that Davie, Florida, a dog was in a canal. Two police officers went to save the dog, contacted their own ACO, Karen. Karen reports to Danny Stallone. Listen to the chain of command. I lived in Davie. I know these people. The cops say, okay, what do? They call the shelter. Emily Wood denies them to bring the dog from Davie to the shelter. Karen, the ACO for Davie, sends an email to her boss, Danny Stallone. Public information, folks. Fast forward to September 8th, Michelle Lazzaro is standing in front of the commissioners. I haven't watched it. Shame on you, people. She stands there and tells them, not once, but twice, to fire Emily Wood. She says it twice. She also says the word terminate. She tells them, those that were listening, and I'm talking about the mayor and the commissioners, and you all know who they are. You should. I know a few of their names. The county administrator's present. Michelle says her own captain, three captains and her chief, were told Emily Wood did not want the dog, and she had her dog, Michelle Lazzaro, in her Hallandale, in a jail cell meant for criminals. These are her own words. Listen to her. So now because Emily gets pulled up, stands up there with Lenny, and they're, what I think they're doing is placating. And the commissioners all buy into it, I think, some of them, not all. And I call it a banquet of BS. I won't swear. and everything is great. Well, not so fast. Rita Green speaks up, a Broward County resident. She's been sending emails. Debbie Ciratello, another one, sending emails. Why is this woman still working for the government of Broward County and getting paid big money? Because people, she's fooling you all. In my opinion, she is a wolf in sheep's clothing. She needs to be fired, and I agree, and I admire Commissioner Michelle Lazzaro. She is a woman, backbone made of titanium, broad shoulders, and a big mouth to blow that whistle. And I admire her, and I love everybody and respect whistleblowers. And I deal with them all over the country. And they're afraid to come forward because they're afraid of the ramifications, the repercussions, the threats, and the bullying. And you got to stand alone, people, because you don't want to follow the sheep. I stand alone. I surround myself with those people in animal rescue that I completely trust, that I can go to. Sunday Garcia, Gina Pitt, Anna Campos. I am very, very small circle. For all of you that think you're rescuers, you're all liking one another, guess what? Keep following that pack. And then you're going to turn around and go, oh, I thought she was so wonderful. Sorry, folks. That's why I like to be the shepherd versus the sheep, okay? And I guess I can consider myself, I don't know, I guess I speak my own mind. You all know that. Whether you love me or hate me, I really don't care. I care about those animals. And I'm going to be the voice for those animals, and I'm going to fight for those animals. So I speak my own mind. Consider me an independent maverick. So I have two people waiting, guys, in the queue. I don't know what these numbers are, but I will tell they don't have a comment and keep it under a minute. We've got only 57 minutes left, and I've got to get to the post on Facebook. All of you listening, go to the Facebook page now, Broward County Animal Care. All of you know, please do it, Broward County Animal Care, and I'll get to you in a minute. But let's take these calls, people, because I don't like to keep them waiting. Stand by. It's going to be area code 646 coming on, area code 646. Hold on, area code 646, you're on the air with Inspector Bark. Good afternoon.
Hi, it's Izzy, Maggie. So I
You are patient. Thank you. Thank you for your patience.
Yeah, I know you've had guests. So I wanted to share because I was there when I was, you know, me and Diana were there when the police came to Nicole Dupras' house when she was, you know, across the street at an unoccupied property lounging on their porch. And the officers, the way that the chain of command went is the BSO, Broward Sheriff's Office, did not know what the process was, what to do with animals. But he was sympathetic, which was really rare, and we were really lucky to have this officer, Budney, as the, you know, responding officer. So he was deferring animal. What happened is animal control happened to respond coincidentally in response to the calls made the day before about Nicole's house. They happened to show up at the same time, coincidentally, as the police showing up. So the police did not call animal care, BCAC, to come, but they were both there. And so police officer really didn't know what to do, but I helped facilitate that dialogue between Broward County Animal Care and the Broward Sheriff's Officer. So because the sheriff's was trying to just put it in animal control, and animal control said, there's no way I can do anything if she doesn't give me permission. We've been here before. If she's never given us permission, we've never been inside, she's not going to give it. And so I asked him, well, what would it take for you to be able to forcibly go in? And he said, a warrant. So I went to the sheriff and I said, but he needs a warrant to be able to go in there, because they had already walked all around the perimeter and smelt this you know, horrendous smell coming out of the back, you know, evidence of clearly, you know, animal suffering going on in there. So he said, okay, well, I have time today. You know, I will do a warrant if needed. At this point, Nicole had convinced him to wait for Alba to come because she said, you know, Alba is the one that's been taking care of the cats while I've been sick in the hospital. I want to wait for Alba to get here. And so Alba was being not really cooperative over the phone. So the officer was already saying, look, when Alba comes, I want her to give consent or to convince Nicole to give consent. And if she isn't able to do that, I'm just going to tell her she's going to be a co-defendant and we're going to get a warrant and we're going to come after both of them to be able to twist her arm enough to make Nicole give consent. So eventually Nicole gave consent for them to go in. Because Nicole has process, she's not going to get arrested and she's not going to get charges most likely. This was an owner surrender in the end. They never got the warrant. They were at the point at any, like 48 hours later, because of our pressure, they finally put enough, I guess, pressure on her that she gave consent for them to come and get them all. They were ready to do the warrant if they needed, but they, I guess, you know, let her know. And that's because of our pressure. Those first 48 hours, Emily Wood, I spoke with and said that everything was fine and we're going to work with her slowly over the coming months to get these cats rehomed and the resources to take care of them. And I'm like, no, these officers, this is an emergency. These cats cannot breathe. They're dying. They're coming. They're being euthanized. They're being brought out of there to be euthanized because they're so sick from the conditions. So
she was said to, but I'm sorry to interrupt you, but see, the officers at the scene should have what it's called containing the scene. He should have just not let anybody in there and gone and getting a warrant that day. You don't wait to go get a warrant days later.
They wanted consent. Of course, anytime the police show up, they always want your consent rather than having to do it forcibly. Of course they will, but that they were giving her a lot of leeway to give consent. And so she said to animal control, they're going to let us start taking out the cats. Or I'm sorry, the animal control told us that she agreed. She's going to let us start taking out the cats tomorrow. He's like, it won't be me. I won't be coming. But, you know, we have 16 people on our team and they're going to start taking the cats out tomorrow. Emily Wood made the decision to not do that and just work slowly with Nicole to get them out. And that was all she was expecting. But because of our pressure saying, no, those cats need to be out. They need to, this is not safe for them. That is the only reason they went and finally told Nicole to give us all of them. And she agreed because they said, if not, we're going to get a warrant and do it. And we need them out there immediately. And that is because of our pressure that we put. So
Let me jump in here because it was really thanks to you, Izzy, and I don't know if Diana is in the queue, and I don't have time to jump in and talk to these people, but if you could, Izzy, while we're talking, text Diana and see if she's on hold because I don't know these other phone numbers that are in here. I'd like to have her come on because you guys were literally there. You smelled it. You heard where Alba yelled at you guys. And you know, everybody's going to now say, oh, well, you know, they're going to make excuses for Nicole. She's dying. This is what I heard from one of my people Nicole's dead. Okay.
Well, that's the more the reason why the cats need to be out of her care immediately. Diana
perfect.
Is
you're
on
right.
The line.
No, you're right. Okay, you're right. Okay, I'll bring her in a minute. You're right.
You had that's where the crisis, like, Nicole has been scamming and hoarding these cats for years. This is not a new thing. Her health, she's had the kidney issue and the transplant for years. She's gone in and out of the hospital. Years this has been going on. Neighbors have been complaining, and her landlord has been trying to evict her and all these. This has been going on. But now that she had another health crisis and is in the hospital like 10 days, and Diana having personal knowledge through friends, that these cats are not being taken care of. The public is asking her, where are your colonies? We want to help feed your colonies. She won't tell where any of the colonies are to anyone, not friends. She won't let her friend, her lover, her best friend who she's living with, she won't let her go take care of cats. So this is her covering up. She doesn't want anyone to know what she's really got going on. But it's not that she just got sick now and lost control.
Here's the problem that I see. This is what I was talking about before with people that want to think with their hearts and not with their heads. I understand that she's had issues and she's going to continue having issues because once you get her to surrender the animals, it's basically no longer a criminal aspect. You want the law enforcement involved. You should have had the animals taken to animal control so that she can be prosecuted where a judge can come in and say, you are never allowed to have an animal again. Because right now she can turn around and take in as many animals as she wants. You can't go in with your heart and take the animals, oh, surrender them to these rescues and I'll take two and I'll take five. No, you should have had all the animals brought to Broward County Animal Control and law enforcement should have gotten involved in that way. Because now she can
well,
do it
so
all
what
over.
Officer Budney, what Officer Budney's decision at the time, he said, okay, she's working with animal control. She agreed to give him the cats tomorrow. And then the next, so he was like, I'm going to step out. If she stops cooperating with them at any given moment, it will come back to us and we will do it our way, the criminal way. So he was like, as long as she cooperates with animal control, it won't come back into our hands in that way. Now, he was there the night that they seized the cats or she surrendered them, but that was obviously he was present on that Sunday night when they took the 71 cats out, okay? So he was clearly watching this case, staying on top of it, continuing to investigate it. I think that he was also putting pressure on animal control.
Let me correct you for a minute, okay? You guys were there last Wednesday. I know so because I started getting my phone ping, ping, ping. And I'm bringing you in a minute, Diana, but this is important. The timeline is important. You guys were there last Wednesday at approximately 5 o'clock, correct, Izzy?
Yeah, that sounds right.
No, I know it's right, okay, because I look at all the
o'clock.
Data.
I don't know.
Okay, so let me just finish. This is important, okay? It's okay. Just stay on point with me because these are direct questions that need to be answered. So at 5:30 approximately, animal control officer Fred Flint comes to the scene, and you both heard him say, well, I get off duty at 6 o'clock, okay? That's the key right here. So you can tell, in my opinion, he doesn't want to do this. He knows there's a problem. You see the deputies bending over wanting to vomit right then and there. Now, I've been told that – here, just do me a favor and mute yourself, okay? Thanks. Okay. So I've been told that an animal control officer is on duty till 9 o'clock. So someone else was there. My question to Fred Flint is who did he speak to that told him to stand down? Was it Philip Gowen, his supervisor, or was it the other supervisor? And forgive me, I don't know her first. I think her first name is Jennifer. Did they go to Emily Wood? And she said, let it go. Again, Izzy made a good point. The cops are relying on the animal control officer. The animal control officer is relying on, they're running around in circles. But because of social media pressure, on Friday night, not Sunday, you mentioned.
Okay.
I just want to correct you. It's very important. On Friday night. Okay, can you mute yourself? Izzy, please mute yourself. On Friday night at approximately 8 to 9 o'clock, Friday at 8 to 9 p.m., this is what happened. Social media, somebody, in my opinion, overruled Emily Wood. Could have been a commissioner. Who knows? I don't know. We may never know. And they went in, and they started just grabbing the cats, picture some. Did they go in the room? Did they take all the pictures? Did they take pictures of the feces all over?
They did take pictures, and there is video. That's the other thing I wanted to share because the woman said that. There is video and photos, and that is in the police report and in the animal control activity report, which is, now public information.
Okay, so I don't know if you heard what Tim had to say or Sunday or the other animal control officer. If they did not properly tag and jump in Sunday, and correct me, you guys are the ones that are you know, law enforcement.
Yeah, well,
I'm
not.
I'm
they did. Quite... This was not a seizure. They did not seize the cats. This was an owner surrender. They waited 48 hours to finally, like, you know, because of our pressure, to force her to give it all. Not forced. She consented. This was an owner surrender legally. Now,
that's
the
problem.
Reason
that's what I'm
that,
trying...
Well,
they
but
not
the
have...
thing, if it wasn't,
owner surrender.
If they had taken this, but here's the thing, if they had been taken by force through a warrant, there's different legalities about the animal care because they're property. And so the only medical intervention that they would have been able to provide was life-saving. So they would not be able to give them antibiotics for their URIs and all their respiratory illnesses. And so the her surrendering actually allows them, like, because now they're the owner of these cats. They can give, and now that's where our pressure, we don't want them euthanized. We're trying to help get them out. And right now, there's only been one euthanasia. There was somebody that said there was more, but as far as I know, from
wait a minute,
with
wait,
animals,
I have
fun.
To. No, Izzy, I disagree with you. Okay, just hold that thought and mute yourself because I need Sunday to come on here. I think you're incorrect. I mean, people have said there's been 8 to 10, and you know the
well,
reason
so
why they convinced her. No, please let me finish. Please let me finish. Please, no. I need you to mute yourself until I'm done, okay? Please. This is important. Please, mute yourself and let Sunday jump in here when I get done. There's never going to be an arrest was done. You guys have to understand that. Sunday, please explain it for me, okay?
Well, just like, you know, we were talking before, just because an arrest was made doesn't mean a prosecution is going to be made. They made an arrest. But if you make a bad arrest and you don't document everything and if you didn't do the arrest in the proper way, it's just going to be dismissed. And as I was trying to explain, you know, owner surrender is wonderful. The animals get out. They get the care. But this woman is now free to do whatever she wants again. The arrest means nothing if she's not prosecuted. And you can't prosecute if you don't do it the proper way.
Okay, so let me ask you, Sunday, about a warrant. I believe that Emily Wood has been telling people that it's a long process and that it's going to take forever to get a search warrant, and all they'll do is these cats will sit in cages for months. I need you to debunk that theory. How long does it take to get a search warrant?
Okay, the officer who arrives on the scene is what they call secures the scene. You don't allow anybody in or out. Simple. He would normally, most street officers do not do warrants. They will call a detective, and the detectives will write up a warrant, which might take half an hour, and then you go before a judge, and it doesn't take that long. You know, you might have to wait 30 minutes, an hour, maybe 2 hours for, you know, to see a judge, and because they have judges that do nothing but that. So they could have gotten the warrant in a couple hours.
Okay, thank you for that. And Izzy, I'm going to have to cut you off because I've got other callers, but thank you so much for calling in. You can continue listening, but thank you for all your hard work, Izzy. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
But these people need to stop believing the ones that don't have the animal's best interest. Okay, thanks for the call. You can hang up now. I don't want to disconnect you. Thank you. Thank you. So what I want to do is, Tim, is there anything you want to add to that?
No, I think it was pretty much said. Everything was said there. The one thing I would say is that even if she was under arrest, what was she under arrest for? Was it animal cruelty or was it, I don't even get a chance to find out what the arrest was for.
Yeah, you know what? I don't have the police report in front of me, and I don't think Sunday's got it. Izzy, unfortunately, that was a question that Izzy could have answered. Diana is the other whistleblower. She is currently in the queue. But that's very important. Why do you ask that? I'm just curious, and I want the listeners to understand.
The reason I ask that is also, too, because even if she turns the animals over, that's still evidence of whatever the arrest was. If it's for animal cruelty, then those cats should have been looked at by veterinarians. And I was going to say there'd be a lot of evidence through the veterinarians that could tell you exactly which cat they should have a whole file on each one of the cats. If the arrest was caused by animal cruelty, or if it was a situation where, it's not hoarding, but it would be a situation where she's done something with those animals, sold them illegally or something, and,
I think it's deprivation. BSO said deprivation, but don't quote me on that, Tim. But, yes, they did have to euthanize more than one cat. That was not correct information, Izzy, so I just want to make sure. There have been cats euthanized, and trust me, they got rid of the dead ones before they went back there on Friday night. They had no intention of going back. Again, social media people, very powerful. Very powerful. I'm going to bring in area code 954. Go ahead and mute yourself again, Tim. And keep in mind, you guys, there is like a 2 to 3 second delay. So when people are talking over one another, it's not intentional. It's a delay. So I'm going to bring in 954, and this is a Broward County phone number. And if it's Diana, let's see who it is. I don't know. Let's see. Surprise, surprise.
Hello, this is Diana. Can you hear me?
Okay. I can hear you now. Welcome to the show, Diana. Thank you so much.
Hello. Thank you for doing this. I appreciate it. I'm Diana Salcido. I blew the whistle because starting on October 6th, I grew concerned that the cats were not being fed. They were not being taken proper care because Nicole was in the hospital, and she refused to let Albus and Lucas, the woman who was taking care of her, even go in the house. That was a huge red flag for me. So I looked it up online. I was asking everybody they knew where she lived. I found an address. I went there on Saturday, October 6th, to check, to do my own welfare check. I asked the neighbors. They said, we haven't seen her in days. We don't know. And I knocked on the door. Nobody came out. So I left. Then I found out that the cats did not get fed again. So I started asking people if anybody wanted to come with me to check on the situation. So I went there on Tuesday night, which is October 11, with Amanda. She came with me, and that's when we went again to that same trailer because Nicole Duprat, she's a con artist, so she had her own rescue, and she put her own address as this address, but an old lady opened the door. So I said, oh, it's Nicole here. I said, there's no Nicole. You woke me up. It was 8 o'clock. Please leave. So we were like, I'm like, we're done. There's no way we're going to find this woman ever. It was like a needle in a haystack. But I didn't want to give up on it. And this is why. I went to my vet the same day. And when I was kind of asking, because they knew her, she goes to the same vet. We both used it under Albus and Lucas' account. She gave us the opportunity to go because she gets a discount. I said, I'm concerned about Nicole's cat. And they said, oh, by the way, we kicked her out of the practice. I said, why? I said, because she was bringing healthy kittens, and they told me the story of this orange kitten. She brought this gorgeous, beautiful, healthy kitten. We tested him. Everything was fine, clean bill of health. About 2 months later, she comes back with the same kitten dying of an upper respiratory, and we had to euthanize him. That's what broke the camel's back for the vet. She said, I'm done with this woman. She's a hoarder. She's harming cats because she had done that many times. And I don't want her back here in my office. She needs to go. I'm a little disappointed at Dr. Krusko, is the name of the vet, because she should have reported this. However, she didn't have Nicole's address because we were using Alba's and Lucas' address. So it would have been, she's not going to do what I did, drive around trying to find the right place. So finally, Amanda, her husband is a BSO. I'm not liberty to say who exactly he or she is. They found an app. They found two potential addresses, but I recognized the photos from somebody else who sent them, and I said, this is the place. And that's when I sent an SOS. I said, I don't want to go alone because I want a witness. And I filed the Broward County report, by the way, the night before, but I had the wrong address. So the next day, Anissi said, I'm coming. I said, great. She was amazing. She made, she got the best videos. They've been all over the media. We went to the house, and I guess you know the story. I can tell you a little more, but we knocked at the door, and we heard this cat screeching. I've dealt with cats since I've been, 15 years old. I mean, my 40 years, I don't even know how old I am. In my 35 years or whatever of doing rescue, never once have I heard such a screech. It was like out of a Halloween movie. We both looked at each other. She said, there's a cat in distress. The stench was horrible. And we said that. And then we tried to reason with her. She was across the street. She treated badly, said, get the hell out. I'm calling the police. You're harassing me. And we even brought her food. You know, somebody suggested bring food. So we brought her food. She's like, get out. She was mad. She's nasty. So we're like, let's go. Well, Easy was trying to reason with her. I called 911. I said, we need a welfare check. Something is really, really wrong in this place. I explained the situation. And they said, okay. Coincidentally, because I realized I had the wrong address, I called BCAC. And I told them, I want to update my report. So I gave them the correct address. And I couldn't believe it. Within an hour, they were there, which I thought it was going to take a week. Because the woman's like, oh, I'll send an email, and they'll update it whenever they have time. So, you know, but no, they went the next day. I mean, they went right away, pardon. Sorry. And that was amazing. It was, I really believe it was almost like divine intervention, because finding Nicole's house, it was finding a needle in a haystack. But having an empathetic BSO that loved cats and wanted to take action,
Let me stop you right there and just mute yourself, because you were very fortunate. The cats were very fortunate. Please mute yourself. And because of Deputy Budney, he really came back on the scene, because when I called on Thursday and he was off, because you told me, Diana, I called and spoke to a sergeant, and I said, here's the case number. What can you tell us? And then she had very little information, wasn't populated yet into the system. And I said, can you do me a favor? I'm going to ask. Can you please call Officer Budney off duty? Get him to brief you on what happened. Why do you think he came back on Friday night? It's because I think they knew this was a dire situation and we needed charges against her. He came back a day early, and that is so important. But again, because animal control did not do their job, these animals are going to continue to suffer in Broward County until we get somebody in position that knows what they're doing. And that person is Lauren Bluestone. Now, let me tell you who Lauren is. Lauren is somebody I met and who came from Tennessee in November of last year. She has not even been with us in Broward County for a year. I met with her and took her to Joe Stonecraft for lunch, my favorite place when I'm in Florida, and I also had Anna Campos accompany me. I wanted to know what Lauren Bluestone's goals were for our animals in Broward County, because people were already telling me they were upset. They were upset with what was going on with the leadership of Emily Wood, who has no in the field experience. Lauren Bluestone, the second in command, I don't know who hired her, folks, but she's awesome, okay? She told me, and I wrote notes, what her plans were for the shelter. She was implementing and getting things moving and shaking. That was in November, and then in February, allegedly harassment was starting to occur. I don't know. This is what I'm being told. And this is very important, because what I'm thinking is happening is that you're the director, and this is all in my report to the Broward County Commissioner and the county attorney, that if you have somebody that reports to you who has much more experience than you, you are going to view that person as a threat. So I believe that Emily Wood started doing things to purposely make Lauren Bluestone's life miserable. Let me finish, and guys, don't interrupt me, because this is very important, because time is ticking. Then all of a sudden, and I met Lauren in March, and we had a lovely lunch. She talked about what was going to be done, and things started turning in the opposite direction. She was being ridiculed, according to what she has reported to the Professional Standard Division. And then she was told by more than two people, and this is in my report, it's in the Sun Sentinel newspaper, that Emily Wood called her a very offensive slang word, a bull dyke. And I know, again, this is a very touchy situation, but how can a director, an employee of Broward County, call her second in command? Recently, she changed her story. She changed her story and said, no, I didn't call her that. I called her a butch. Well, I'll tell you what. On my business card, if you tell the truth, you'll never have to remember anything. Mark Twain. So now I'm already starting to say, okay, Jory's changing. She's lying. And all of you people that kept calling Emily Wood and do something, her story changed, didn't it? So if you all talk among each other and see, this is serious. This is really bad when you call somebody that. So, of course, what happens? Broward County, they do an investigation. And this all boils down to what's happening behind the closed doors of Broward County Animal Care. And basically, this is something that I think is much more serious because the Division of Professional Standards is located at the administrative office. I believe they're just buying time and hoping that things will be brushed under the rug and that poor Lauren Bluestone's life will be made so miserable that she'll just quit. That is what I believe the goal is. Well, let me tell you, people, if you love our animals in Broward County and you want to see success for those animals to get out and have reputable rescues, join with Broward County Animal Care. We need Emily Wood fired, and we need to insist that Lauren Bluestone move on up and get Emily Wood out, okay? And this is very, very important because this woman, in my opinion, is a wolf in sheep's clothing. She's the commissioners and this Lenny guy, they're buying her BS. And again, I call it a banquet of BS. If we don't get rid of Emily Wood, these hoarders are going to continue to be in the picture. And I'll tell you why. Of course Emily Wood wants the hoarders because they're getting rid of the cats. They're taking the cats. Perfect example. Last year in Hollywood, Florida, a cat hoarder. Susan Hart, if you're listening, you are part of helping to trap. Jonathan Colon Garcia, a name that a lot of you know. I don't know the man. I know you guys hate one another. But he came and helped this woman. It was on the news. Remember this. This was under the watch of Emily Wood. She sends out Philip Gone. Philip Gone meets the animal control officer for the city of Hollywood named Cindy Bates. He's very cooperative. Cindy tells me, I'm friends with Cindy. I know these people. I own a home in Hollywood. And so all of a sudden, everybody's like, yay, yay, yay. Guess what? Guess what became of that hoarder? Nothing. Nothing. You know why? And this was never told to the city of Hollywood, that Emily Wood gave the okay to release all those cats that were taken to the shelter back to who? The hoarder. Why the hell, if you're supposed to protect our animals and a shelter to be a safe haven, you give them back to the hoarder? This was told to me by a reliable source in the city of Hollywood. They don't want these cats in there. Get them out while they're alive. And you know why? I think that Emily Wood enjoys protecting the hoarders, which is what she's doing. She wants these hoarders around so she doesn't have to deal with these animals. You've got to understand the whole picture, people. And all of you, and I'm reading, I get put into these groups, and I go in there just to send them a message and say, listen to me, and a lot of people don't want to hear the truth. The hardest pill to swallow is the truth. Now, let's talk about this. And Diana, go ahead and hang up because I really got to get this message out. It's only 20 minutes. So just go ahead and hang up, and thank you so much.
Okay, I just wanted to correct you, too, that I was the one who got kicked out of the groups when I started asking questions. I'm the one that got persecuted in the beginning. Everybody was trying to stop me. Do not. What are you doing? Why are you, you know? just so you know. But
Izzy also got kicked out. And
no,
other
she didn't.
People,
she got kicked out for whatever reasons way before. Nothing to do with Nicole's case.
Okay, but she still got kicked out because. Okay.
No, but
okay,
nothing
thank
to
you.
Do with
okay.
Nicole's case. Mm-hmm.
Okay, bye. Thank you, Diana. Bye. This is important. Diana brought up a good point. Why are people getting kicked out of groups? Stacey Montana just recently said, so-and-so is a hoarder. Those of you that support Jocelyn Bear in Hialeah, she's got a rap sheet a mile long, and she allows animals to suffer. Now, people, we live in a very dark world, okay? We have child sex trafficking. We've got human trafficking. We've got dog fighting. If you let an animal suffer and they go onto social media platforms and they pull at your heartstrings and people start sending them money, I've alerted Baum Foundation, Karen Baum, Furry Friends in Jupiter, Florida. And I said, stop this. Stop enabling these hoarders. They are pulling at your heartstrings big time. Do you know when I told her, and yes, I did speak to her personally, and I gave her the evidence of Jocelyn Bear, she admitted to me she had never, ever spoke to Jocelyn Bear. She only called these people through virtual friends. She also gave money to Nicole Dubois. And allegedly, from what I've been told, I haven't fact-checked it, she's giving money to another individual. I'm not going to name that person, but Karen did admit she knows this person, another one that I suspect is a hoarder, and my sources are very solid. And she says, yes. I said, have you ever spoken to her? Now, this was through Messenger. She goes, no, she's a virtual friend. A virtual friend. Okay, you've never had the voice. You know what we're dealing with? We're dealing with scam artists, people, just like these elderly women that are looking for love on the website. And they think that this guy is a colonel, you know? You ever see those Facebook profiles? And they take him for $100,000 or $200,000. It's crazy. I don't understand how you guys are so trusting. These people are phonies. They're phonies. Sunday, is there anything you want to mention? Because I got to get Gina on here. Sunday, can you hear me? I don't know if I can take any other calls. Sunday may be busy. It's okay.
No, I'm here. I unmuted myself. It's also, why is the animal shelter basically hiding, deleting, or changing the settings on the comments on their page? You know, what?
We're going to get to that. That's Gina. Yeah.
Okay.
Gina's going to present that. You're right. Thank you for bringing that up. But I want you to stress the fact also, and you run the scam advocacy group, and you and Joanne do a bang-up job over there. Thank you. Gina and her team, Guard Dog USA, the bad and the ugly in the world of pets, yes, I am part of that team. But to be honest with you, I can't dedicate as much time to that because of my detective agency and running Inspector Bark. You guys run with it. I mean, I'm handing you the baton. I want to bring in Gina at the time because we need to discuss something since 20 minutes is left. And anybody, I'm sorry that, you know, you're in the queue. I just got to get this important information out. Gina, are you in front of your computer?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay, so I'm going to ask you, and we're going to walk through this like we're giving a presentation. Nobody can see us. I want you to go to the Facebook page, which you already are at, correct?
Right.
Broward County Animal Care. I want you to go down to the post that everybody's talking about and all those shares. Tell me how many comments we're supposed to see and how many shares.
The post about the 71 cats, even though the news reports say over 100, 43 comments, 193 shares. When you click on comments, the only comments that I can personally see, whether I am under most relevant, newest, or all. I can see 1, 2, 3, 4 comments. That's it. So,
okay.
Only 4 comments from me.
Mm-hmm.
Well, not from me. I can only see 4 comments out of 43. And I did a test. It doesn't matter. I thought maybe it's because I haven't liked the page. So I liked the page. Again, I went under all comments, most relative, newest. I can only see 4. Of course, there is a disclaimer that says some comments may have been filtered out. So clearly, like a lot of national and social media platforms, the First Amendment right has been shifted into their favor and not the public's, because they're clearly, I don't see that it says they're hiding comments, but they're obviously filtering them out. 44 comments. I just seen another comment. It says now there's 44 comments. I cannot see them. I can only see the 4.
Okay. So speaking of that, thank you. Sunday, 1 second, because I know what you need to do. I also saw what Gina's talking about. I was at the gym yesterday, and I happened to pop into that group that Susan Gilbert runs, a group called Cat Health, and another group that Diana runs called Helping the Cats of Nicole. So I see that they're talking about the post, and I go and look at the post, and I go, well, where the heck are all the comments? I don't see anything. Now, I was on a different account. Very important, because I don't know these people on this different account. So then I go into the group. I go, hey, I don't see these comments. Where are you seeing them? Susan Gilbert directs me to look up above in the conversation. I click on it. Now I'm in my main account. Now I'm in my Darcy Odie Butkus. I'm friends with Susan Gilbert on Facebook. I've never met her, so she's strictly a friend on Facebook. I see the comments. And I'm going, this is strange. Isbury Leon. I see the names because now I'm thinking, what the heck? I go back out again. I look in another account. I don't see them. I go into the manager's office at the gym. I said, hey, do me a favor. Get your phone out. Take a look at this Facebook page. Because I thought it was my phone. He looks. We look. Goes to it. Nothing. Now, this is the kicker. And Sunday's going to chime in here. I come home from the gym. Now I'm on my laptop. First person I call is Sunday Garcia. I said, Sunday, do me a favor. Go over to this post. What do you see? What happened when you looked, Sunday?
Well, I couldn't see the comments. So I wrote on there, why are you deleting comments? I could see it under my personal page. However, then I went and looked using a different account, which is not associated with me in any way, shape, or form. I couldn't see. And then I kept checking throughout the day. Same thing on my personal account. I could see what I wrote, nothing, what anyone else wrote. And if I went to another account, I couldn't see anything. So I wrote to Miss Woods, and she, I would say Woods, it's Wood. She wrote back to me trying to explain that it was because of, you know, basically foul language and filters. And I'm like, no, I'm sorry. You know, there's no way, because what I wrote didn't contain anything like that. I says, you know, you're just being deceitful. And you're doing this with malice to basically deceive the public. You want to sway things in your favor.
Mm-hmm. Let me jump in here. So now I see I've proven my point. Now it's to convince this audience. Now, if you look at the shares, Gina, you'll go into those shares and you'll see Diana Sell sharing in numerous groups, and you don't have to add to that, because this is getting important. So now I'm thinking, what the hell are they doing? This is a government platform. This is not the bad and the ugly, which I can do, and the team can do whatever they want. It's not guard dog. This is a government Facebook page. You do not censor people. I agree. A filter needs to be in place, and we have one in place for Inspector Bark and for the bad and the ugly. Okay? So now I'm going, what is going on? And what she is doing is she is creating, and I don't know who it is, but I'm going to say the director, Emily Wood, is she is getting you all to believe that you're seeing your comments, but they're not there. When they are hidden, you still see your comment, and all your friends see your comments, but they're not there, people. It's an illusion. It's an illusion, because why was it that Sunday Garcia sees that there's 20 comments or 30, and I'm like, oh, my God, this is infringing on our First Amendment right. Thomas Julian, who represented Michelle Lazaro, who specialized in the First Amendment right, he's down in Miami, he would have a field day with this. So then I thought to myself, I need to act, and I need to act now. What I did is I went to the county attorney of Broward County. His name is Andrew Myers. And I sent an email to him through Debbie Serotello. Debbie's always sending emails. Maybe a little bit too much, but hey, that's her choice. That's her right. And I got a hold of her. I said, look, I need your help. I'm out in the field. You need to do this. Email went. He responded back. Because I said, I need you to do this. Write this important information. I want you to copy the commissioners, but you send it to the county attorney. He got back to her within 9 minutes. And then I got thinking, okay, this is not going to work. These emails, he's just going to put off. He's a busy man. So now I decided I'm going to contact the office myself. I speak to his wonderful assistant, Jillian, okay? And somebody also gave me the connection, so I got leverage. And I said, look, I need help. I need this email directly sent to Mr. Andrew Myers. She worked with me. We sent it. He called me last night. He called me at 10 to 6 as he was running into another meeting. And I appreciate that. And I thank you, Mr. Myers, if you are listening. And I asked him last night, what would you like for me to call you? He said, Drew. And guys, I'm going to talk fast here. We got 13 minutes and we're being taped, and this is crucial. I said, Drew, I said, do you know anything about Facebook? And he told me, not a clue. His kids are on it. So I knew. He goes, I just want you to know I'm not familiar with the cat situation, but what you told me and what has been told by my people is that there is a filter in place and vulgarity is being used. Vulgarity is being used, and that's why all these comments are going into a filter. And I said, Drew, I'm going to tell you something right now. You are having the wool pulled over your eyes, because if they believe her, if she's that convincing, shame on them. Because you know what you need to do? You need to look at the proof. They should have told her, and they should tell her, I want to look into the administrative profile. I want to see what you're saying. Show me the comments. Anna Campos wrote one because I can see it. I'm her friend. She's not swearing. So I collected all the data, the facts, the evidence, and I sent it to him because he said, I'm getting ready to go into this meeting. Send it to me again. He said he was reading it on his iPad. The images were embedded. And he goes, I promise you I will look at it tonight. Because tomorrow morning I got a busy day. Get this. You want to hear this? Sunday, I told you, you had sent an email, and I don't know if you looked to see if you had copied Mr. Andrew Myers, but now we're going to copy Mr. Andrew Myers, and I hate to do this to you, Drew, but you got to see the truth. I asked you, please, to not have me discuss anything with your county attorney who is assigned to Broward County Animal Care. Her name is Attorney Deanne Jackson. I believe that she's drinking the Kool-Aid, people. She's drinking the Kool-Aid. What is happening now is a major bombshell. She is intentionally, somebody is hiding the truth. And we are exposing it on this podcast right now, being taped. And if Sunday you didn't send your email to him, every email should be directed to County Attorney Andrew Myers. I know he's going to hate me for this, but too damn bad. These animals come first. I'm not sugarcoating anything. This is serious. This is infringing on everybody's First Amendment right. And it's against the law, and it should not be tolerated. And this is why I concur with Commissioner Michelle Lazzaro. Fire Emily Wood. Put the right person in the job. And that is Lauren Bluestone, in my opinion. How dare you infringe on people's rights? I am disgusted. So listen to this. Please mute yourself. This is a bombshell right here, you guys. So Mr. Myers, Drew, very nice man, I get back an email this morning as I'm preparing for the podcast. Okay? He told me last night he was going to look at everything. I said, please, you must. So Wednesday, October 19th, 2022, 10:12 a.m., Andrew Myers, amyers@broward.org, wrote, Ms. Butkus, I have reviewed the emails, discussed them with my team, and we are now looking into this issue in detail. I have been told that no one is selectively deleting posts, and an explanation has been offered as to why it may seem like that it is occurring. But we are independently looking into it. I have meetings most of the day, but am due to circle back with my team at 1:30 and hope you be able to further respond at that time. Thank you, Andrew J. Myers, Broward County Attorney. I read it exactly how he wrote it. I write back, info@inspectorbark.com, to amyers@broward.org, Wednesday, October 19th, 2022 at 10:17 a.m. Thanks for your response. I suggest one of your staff listen to my podcast at 12 noon today. Starting time for this situation is approximately 12:40 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. All the details are in the body of my emails. Someone needs to read everything I presented. I presented, and this is public information, people. You just have to exert a little effort and request it. Don't ask other people to do it. This is why I do what I do, and I act alone, and I only surround myself with those that care about the animals. None of these phonies. And you got a lot of phonies down there. I want to know why he is writing an email that is trying to possibly placate me when I provided him with all the facts. This is disturbing, and everybody should be up in arms. Now, I only have 5 more minutes, so I'm not going to take in any more calls. I'm sorry. We can do part 2. I do all this on my own time and dime. Sunday Garcia does it on her own time and dime, and so does Gina Pitt. We do this nonstop, and I juggle my schedule because my passion are these animals. And I'll be damned if I'm going to let people like these slithering serpents come in, just like Tim Harrison said, Noah's Ark, Fulton County. They are coming in, people, and they are not putting the animals' best interest at heart. I have a problem with that, and I ask you to all join me. Stay away from the masses. You're all going to look like a bunch of asses. That's what you're going to look. And all of you that think that, oh, Darcy Butkus is crazy and don't listen to her, I got the proof right here, baby, and the truth is the best defense. I believe I cracked this case just because what is being not shown. Your First Amendment right, your freedom of speech has been censored on a government platform. That is not right. That should not be done. And I'm begging you, County Attorney Andrew Myers, and all you commissioners, you read my report I sent you all. It's in your inbox, and it's titled Drain the Swamp at Broward Animal Care. I'm asking you, please, and all you true animal advocates, to join me, Inspector Bark, please, for the sake of these animals, and get Emily Wood fired now. What happened 5 years ago in 2017, folks, they had a Thomas Udair resigned. What was he doing? He was forging documents to make it look like our live rates were better. What is happening behind the doors of Broward County Animal Care is disgusting, and it's got to stop now. I want it to stop now for the sake of our animals in Broward County. And all of you that knew stuff and didn't say anything, shame on you. Those of you that are working behind the scenes supporting Emily Wood, who I think is a slithering serpent, shame on you. We know who you are. And yeah, I'm not giving any names. I am not giving any names. I've got 2 more minutes and I need to finish, and I'm on a bandwagon. And Tim, you and I are going to talk after this. If she does not get fired, Emily Wood, we've got a serious problem on our hands. Fulton County in Georgia, we're having problems there. This is all to do with these people that are coming in and using our animals as a business. Fake rescues are using our animals as a business to personally benefit off financially, okay? I don't care what you people think of me. I don't give a damn. I'm here for the animals. You can sue me all you want. And there is an active lawsuit, despite what 100-plus abandoned dogs said. It's still going on. And all of you, let me refresh your memory. 100-plus abandoned dogs, they were fined by the Department of Ag, State of Florida, for $5,000. There is a fine for misappropriation of funds. Okay? So look it up, people. Read it for yourselves. Stop following the masses, because the truth is here. And it's coming out right now with Broward Animal Care Control. I say control, and I label it control. There was a reason for that. She's controlling the operation, Emily Wood, and we've got to stop it. And if you really love our animals, then by golly, you get those emails out. Stop with the phone calls. Stop. We need it in a paper trail. A paper trail. I have 45 seconds, guys. I told you 2 hours would go by fast. I need this taped. And I'm going to make sure people, if you're serious about getting rid of Emily Wood, this tape will be available. Just go ahead and click it on my Inspector Bark. If you have any questions, please private message me at Inspector Bark. And I know some of you are rooting for me, but you have to do it behind the scenes. God forbid the masses attack you. I am Darcy Butkus, Inspector Bark, and we need the end result. Is to fire Emily Wood. I have 5 seconds left. Guys, it's been really quick. I don't mean to be rude, but I'm going to get cut off. The tape will end. I want to thank everybody very much. And if you're still listening and the tape is rolling, great. But I needed to get that in before the tape ended. So if you all are still on, I believe we're not being taped anymore, but I have to give a big thank you to Tim Harrison, A big thank you to Sunday Garcia. A big thank you to who I consider to be my co-partner, which is Gina Pitt. And I'll tell you, people, again, the three of us, we don't do this and get paid for it. We are doing it for the animals. Now, wouldn't it be nice if we had an organization like Chewy, who's giving money left and right to all these rogue rescues? Wouldn't it be nice if PetSmart Charities would stop giving money without vetting these people? You know what they say? Oh, well, they're a 501c3. Unbelievable. On that note, we can still talk. I can put us all in a group chat or just let you know. It might still be taping, but go ahead and unmute yourself. And thank you so much. Tim, you there?
Yeah, I'm here. I love it. You did a great job. I was fired up.
Well, if you're fired up, buddy, we need all those Broward County residents fired up, because they're the ones that need to take action. Because you know what? I'm not a big believer in petitions and getting them signed, because let me tell you, Tim, you know, you deal with this.
Yeah.
These commissioners, they're gonna. Who's Tim Harrison from Ohio? Am I right?
Yeah. Like I say, I work with senators and congressmen and congresswomen on a national basis. And the one thing is I tell everybody too. I said, if you're gonna, like you just said, let's have a paper trail. Everybody send their own separate note in. I'm a barber. I'm pissed at this. Don't do this anymore. Send it in separately. They look at those. They don't look at something from PETA. They don't look at a list of people wrote, 1,000 people signed a petition. They don't care. They throw that in the trash if it's an organization. If you write by yourself, they look at those. So each person send one in by themselves. Then you've got a paper trail. Then you've got a massive people that send things in separately, then they get the feel. They're like, oh, my gosh, the guy, cop from Ohio, he's writing. He wants to stop. So it's not, if you belong to an organization, I watched them do that when I was at Washington, D.C. They told me that. The senators told me. We don't go. We just look at the PETA signatures and just kind of throw them over here. We don't even bother with them.
Yeah.
So it's better, like you said,
Tim,
paper trail.
Thank you. Tim, I brought in 954 area code. I don't know if they can hear us, but you're still on. Do you want to say anything, 954 area code? We're not taping, just so you know.
Is that me?
Hey, Diana. Yeah.
Okay. No, I wanted to ask something important. Remember, we went to the building and she didn't let us in. That's another violation of our rights. We were there to help the cats. We're rescue groups. We work with rescue groups. To network with other rescue groups, maybe take some ourselves. She didn't even let us pass the door. And there was an adopter
from Tampa,
3 hours.
Diana's talking.
She said no.
She's talking about the government building, the shelter, that four or five people or six people on Sunday wanted to go. She wouldn't let them in.
Yeah. They have to let you in. Take it from a guy. Watch the conservation game. I just took down all the World Stop Conservationists, the animal pimps. I took them all down. Watch the conservation game. You can go, if it's public property, you can ask for a tour. They have to give you a tour. Now, they may not let you that day, but you have to get a tour. You have to be allowed in because you pay your tax dollars. Yeah.
The building was open to the public on Sunday.
They go in.
To the public.
Yeah.
I know, but she didn't let us. He held the door and said, you need to leave now. We were not obnoxious. She didn't like it that the media was there. Well, they decided to come. It's not my fault. I'm not the boss.
That's right.
Yeah.
Okay. Hold on, guys. Hold on a second. I'm going to put you in a chat room, okay? Hold on. Hold on. Stand by. Tim, you there? Tim, are you in the chat room? Okay.
Yeah.